Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Jacob Swell, where we have a podcast about Third Way today. I'm Greg Meyer.
And I'm Melissa Locke here.
And we've been wrestling with this Third Way stuff with Jacob Swell. Actually, it's something our community has been about since the beginning, but we're really talking about it specifically right now. And we're finding it is more difficult than we maybe think on the outset. And so it deserves maybe taking a little closer and harder look at it right now.
Yeah, so we're just getting started with this conversation. So what are we really talking about here? What is the Third Way?
Right.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, it is. So Third Way is a response to those places in life where we get stuck. You know, it might be you're trying to figure out what job to take, whether to move or where to move. Maybe you're dealing with your finances. You're caught between your ideals and all the expectations and temptations of the possession-oriented culture that surrounds you. You know, maybe it's a relationship in which you're stuck in this revolving door of arguments, resentment, whatever, but you just can't see your way out of it. As churches, I think sometimes we get stuck by trying to get people into this mold of either believing or not believing or making sure they believe the right things. And that seems to be not working, and it seems to be excluding people rather than including them. I mean, there's a million ways that we keep pushing at real problems or real dilemmas, and we are certain we know how to deal with it, but we're not making any progress. You know, that's that stuck thing. And I think often we are so sure we know the answer that we actually don't even know the real questions.
Yeah.
It's sometimes, in fact, the questions have been framed up for us, and that has created a paradigm that we can't operate outside of, and it actually isn't the right question in the first place. But we're stuck inside it, and we can't see our way out of it. Sometimes there's another group of people, maybe there are two or three groups of people, have a different perspective on this problem or this issue. And they are equally certain that they know the answer, and they're not going to give an inch, just like you're not giving an inch. And all of our energy then is consumed in fighting with those who disagree with us, not in actually finding a solution.
And it almost becomes impossible to communicate outside of your little paradigms and boxes you've constructed, too.
Right.
So, yeah, really some stuck places. We've named that. But what's the alternative then? Like, what is this third way? We still haven't really touched on that.
Okay, well, first of all, you have to realize it's not just another position that is supposedly better than the others. Rather, it's a way of being. We talk about it as a posture rather than just a different position. It lets go of the deadly certainty that's not going to give and consequently isn't willing to learn, and it moves us instead into this unsettling but powerful stance of discovery.
It sounds exciting. I can see where it's true. Like when I look out there into our world of politics and the discourse going on in the world right now on big social issues or the lack of discourse, corporations. But I also have to say, I'm glad we're focusing on this closer to home too, because it sounds pretty familiar when I start to really think about it in my life.
Right, and that's where we want to focus. It's really easy to look out at the big national issue things that are far from us and point the fingers at how they are stuck and how
we can be really certain about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. But if that change is going to happen, it needs to start with us, right? So we're going to focus on these issues that are inside us.
Well, on one hand, this really sounds straightforward, and on the other hand, I know it's actually really hard to practice.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be true, because if it was that easy, everybody'd be doing it and we wouldn't have to be sitting here talking about it today.
Right. Yeah, I got an email from one of the groups, from Steve in the Tuesday night group, and he said, this is a lot more complicated than we thought it would be at first, this third way thing, but we came up with this illustration. What do you think? Are we getting it? So they put it out there. Yeah, so they said, imagine you're in a classroom, maybe high school or college, and you're a student, and you could raise your hand, and you could ask a question in order to find out what the right answer for the test will be, or you could ask a question to actually understand the subject better.
Right, I think they've got the right idea there. I mean, what's the trap? The stuck places are, I either know it, or I don't know it, or I'm going to get a good grade on the test, or I'll get a bad grade on the test. Rather, the third way would be saying, what do I need to learn here? I mean, that's something every educator knows, right? Educators know that they need tests and they need questions that are supposed to be answered because those are the metrics mm-hmm. they use. But they also know that the real goal is helping people to be learners.
Right.
So, you know, so an example like that is perfect because you might help the student ace a test, but you may not prepare them very well for life by teaching to that kind of wrong question, a stuck
right.
place, right?
But it is that inertia pull to that checklist is strong. Like, just right. tell me what the right answer is.
We've got these kinds of things all over in life. I mean, another example would be in our organizations and in companies and so on. Maybe many of you have experienced this at work and, you know, you're encouraged to innovate and to try things and stuff, but when you do it, you are presented with a stuck question of, did you succeed or did you fail? And that's not unimportant information, obviously, but the real question I would say, and that the third way is looking for, is what did we learn from our experiment that will inform us when we try to do the next thing? So that mode of thinking is much harder for an organization to do, but it helps an organization be more effective, much more than the success-failure mode that simply encourages employees to manipulate the information to make it look like they succeeded, or perhaps just to make them afraid to ever try anything new because, you know, lest they fail and they get that verdict.
Right. Huh. So there was another example that you told me about that came up on Sunday, and I really love this story.
Yeah, this is pretty funny. So trying to explain third way, I was also explaining, like, there's not always a third way, and I use the stop sign as an example of that. Like, you know, stop sign, I guess, you know, the stuck options are you either stop or you don't stop, right? And no, you know, we don't really need a third way. We just all need to stop at stop
yeah,
signs.
Yeah, so we're not really stuck is what you were
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, right. There's just a right answer to that. And afterwards, Dustin comes down and he says to me, gee, Greg, I was surprised that when you got on that stop sign thing, I thought you were going to do the full third way thing with it. And I said, like, well, what do you mean? That was like not a third way idea. And he says, yeah, it is. He says, what about traffic circles?
Yes.
And I said, oh, wow, that is so good. You know, like, as we unpacked this and talked about it, we think stop signs are all about stopping or not stopping, but they're really about safety, right? And about traffic flow.
Right.
And traffic circles do that. They create safety and they create traffic flow. But you ask people about traffic circles, and some people love them, but like a lot of people go, I hate traffic circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're fun, but they do demand more of you.
Yeah, right. And you have to. It takes a while to kind of get used to them and to learn how to do that, because you're kind of in a dance with all the people. At a stop sign, you just assume everyone's going to follow the rule, and you don't really have to have a relationship with them. And you get mad at a pedestrian that maybe walks when you think they shouldn't have or something because they think they're right. I mean, we get all, because the rules are so defined, but in a traffic circle, you really are all in this together, and you respond to each other, and you do this little dance. You take them seriously, and you take yourself seriously, and you're finding a better way. And they do give us safety. They deliver much better traffic flow. I mean, they're kind of a good example mm-hmm. of, or maybe a metaphor of third way.
Yeah, and I actually really love the part of that story that shows how easy it is to be stuck and how often we operate that way without even realizing it. Because here you are preaching a sermon about it. I mean, that could have been any of us. And we're trying to give this example and realize, oh, we're actually stuck right now, and it takes each other to point out other possibilities. I love that.
Yeah, but I did not see that coming, you know? So, yeah, we get stuck all the time, you know, and why? Why do we always have this tendency to all gather up in these stuck places? And I think a lot of it has to do with certainty. We love certainty. It is so tempting. We want resolution. We like the status quo because we can relax. Like, okay, I know how to do this. I don't have to think so hard anymore. I don't have to figure things out. I'm just there and it's easier. Often we'd rather believe we're right than actually solve a problem.
Oh, yeah.
We'll live with problems for a long time with that self-righteous, I've got this figured out. And it's also easier for me to decide that you are wrong and maybe even unworthy of respect or of listening to because you disagree with me than actually stepping back and saying, I may not understand this well enough yet, and maybe I need to learn something from you.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like humility. And that's not always the easiest thing. It's hard to admit when we don't know it all and when we need other people.
Right, and all that is messy. In the long run, people tend to vote for clean and tidy, you know, rather than messy, even if it means getting stuck and not dealing with the real issue.
Yeah, the real issue seems to be a pretty key part of this. We get distracted from what I think really matters to us by these more shallow places that feel better to stay in, these shallow certainty places. And we forget the real question and settle for less, I think.
Right. I think one of the real descriptors of stuck thinking is that we end up spending all of our time and energy solving or addressing the wrong question.
Yeah.
And often we know the real question, but actually if you look at what all of our time and energy and emotion is devoted to, it's a very different question, and it tends to be much more petty than the real one.
I have a lot of examples in my household I can think of right now. Let's not talk about that. So third way thinking can lift us out of our stuckness. But is that the same, Greg? Is that the same as saying that these positions that people have taken are wrong? Like, I think there's good reason they got to those places.
Right. I don't think that having a third way position on something that's stuck means that the people that are stuck, the parties or the camps that are stuck are either wrong or bad. In fact, I think it's important to admit that virtually every position where people feel strongly about, they got there in the first place because they were very passionate. They felt they had some insights and they had information that was really important. So it isn't so much that their ideas are good or bad. It's really just a matter that they've gotten stuck on their process of how their relationship with those ideas and the relationships with people who aren't in their same camp with them.
Maybe they actually have kind of lost touch with what originally got them there, and this can help bring them back.
Right. I think so. And it's probably a major distraction if you're trying to do the third way thing to spend time judging people in their stuck camps. I mean, that kind of is the stuck thing for you then as well. So it's really not a matter of doing that, but of simply of stepping back and asking, what are the real questions here? And what do all the people who have been working on this and are passionate about it, what insights do they have? And what information do they have that I also need to have?
I hear such echoes of rope here everywhere. All three strands that we talk about, self, others, and God, seem to have this deep place in this third way posture we're talking about. I mean, it really calls upon our true self, our big self, to show up and be able to be in touch with what really, really, really matters to us, not just what we thought mattered at first. It also respects and includes others and rejects this idea that we need to be self-sufficient and that we know it all somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then that third strand, that God strand, saying, hey, whether I call it God or not, I'm aware of this bigger way that the world is put together that I can learn to trust and even like ground myself in so that I don't need to cling to certainty as much anymore. I can actually start saying, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I can risk, I can grow, I can learn, I can reach out. I mean, there's so much freedom and possibility there.
That's right. And it really points at what's at stake here, I think. When we give up on this third way and instead just keep doing what we already know and what we've probably learned to grow comfortable with, means not growing. It means saying that it's okay that I'm just going to be stuck. It also means not being your full self. You really do have to turn off parts of who you really are in order to stay in that place where you believe things that aren't true and you isolate yourself from the bigger world that you are not only part of, but you are in need of. I mean, face it, we can't do life ourselves. The only option is together, even when that's not convenient.
Hmm.
It also means that we would end up living with a vision of our lives and our world that is person-sized. That's just not big enough.
Okay, people, this third way is where life happens. This is where we know we're going to find growth, we're going to find health, and a lot more possibility than we are seeing in these stuck places that we keep finding ourselves in.
That's right.
So I think the greatest starting place is just simply noticing, starting to be aware of how often we get stuck and realizing, oh, I'm stuck. I can try a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's as easy as that, right? I know it's hard because we get so used to it and we actually have stopped noticing them, but we can do this.
Right, and I think as we simply do this task of noticing them, we'll be surprised at how much we start learning about how we get stuck and maybe how we will start getting unstuck.
Yeah, I will never see a traffic circle the same way again, Greg.
Me neither.
Thanks, Dustin.